Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word. Father, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, and to take us deeper into your word. And we ask you to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto this, your word. And we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be dealing here this evening with Exodus chapter 1. And parts of chapter 2. Because as we go through the Old Testament now, we're going to be a while getting through it because I'm only going to be going through the Old Testament on Thursday because I'm going to keep Sunday for our time and for the church age, because mankind is growing weaker and further away from God all the time. And unless I would become a great storyteller and just stand up here and tell stories for people to enjoy and tell jokes, they don't want to come. They don't want to come and hear the Word of God because they don't want to live it. And we're getting so many of them today that really don't understand what it means to be a child of the living God. And we're finding more and more of our preachers that way. If you would just watch some of these preachers on TV, you'd understand more of what I'm talking about. If you've got a television set, more than likely, you could get channels that's supposed to be Christian channels. But just look what's on them. Very little about the Lord Jesus Christ. In this area where I live, here in Kentucky, I get Channel 41. We're supposed to be a Christian channel. Mainly got it supposedly by a church. You get on it sometime. Then you've got channel 280. All supposed to be preaching on it. Day and night. 24 hours a day. But try. See what you get. And you'll understand more of what I'm talking about when I say, you know, it let me really understand where God tells us that his judgment will begin at his church. And that lets us understand why. Because they have fallen so far away from God's word. A lot of them don't even resemble churches anymore. We got churches out there that really, they pay all this money to broadcast. But they're not broadcasting the word of God. They're using it as advertisements to sell stuff, books, food, generators, anything to bring them in money. They'll tell you that it's to help you to get ready for these last days. But if you belong to God, you don't need them. God will take care of you. He'll let you know what's what. He'll give you the guidance you need. And it'll be truth. It won't be make-believe. That's right. Word of God. Word of God's all we need. But we need to bring it in. Get it out of the Bible and put it within our hearts and our minds, so that the Holy Spirit can reach in when it's needed and bring it out to either help us or to help us help someone else. But if we don't put it in there, he can't find it, can he? And we're told to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman worthy of his hire. We're told everything we need to know. But it's all in God's word. And now they're not wanting to get in there and get it out. And what is brought out, they don't want to live by. And they want less and less and less of you. Want nothing to do with you. Now, as I said, I'm going to be talking to you from Exodus chapter 1, and we'll be doing some out of chapter 2. We're going to start actually by, for a while, following the life of Moses. And we'll see how God works and brings about his plan for mankind, as we do. And how, in the darkest of times, God always has a light. There's always a light. Mankind just got to find it and walk in it. So we start here now. I'm going to read through the first 14 verses. So now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simon, Levi, and Judah. Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mightily, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Sephirah, and the name of the other, Pirhah. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Now, if we take a quick look at this chapter 1 that I've just read here, well, we like one verse. Let's get in. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Sounds a whole lot like us today, don't it? This was a king order. The death of all male children. because they were multiplying. And he was afraid that there was going to be so many more of them that one day they would be taking over Egypt and he wouldn't be king no more. Now, a whole lot like this handful we got sitting over us today, don't it? Trump had come along and had banned abortion. He had barred it. The group we got in now turned around and one of the first things they done was opened it back up. Abortion had been abandoned here in our state. The clinics were closed. But this Democrat they put into office, one of his first things was to open the clinics back up and go back to killing our unborn babies. Only now, we don't differentiate today whether it's male or female. You kill both of them. The king back then, he was just destroying the male children because they was being greatly numbered. You see, we know that Joseph, as we was reading there, and as he was telling them about, well, just like we find here in 24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now, actually, this king in this day and time really had no reason to fear him because they wasn't to stay in Egypt. It wasn't God's plan for them to stay there. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. He let them know, don't leave me here. You take my bones with you. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. We do know that on their exit, when they left out of Egypt, they did take Joseph's bones with them. You see, God didn't aim for them to stay in Egypt. But we know that they spent a long time there in bondage. Slaves working to build for the king. But the king that knew Moses and that had made him actually great in that land, or I mean Joseph, he'd made Joseph great in that land. He had died. Now there was another one come along, and he didn't know Joseph. And he was afraid because of the way the population was growing. They were afraid they'd be overrun. And he's the one that ordered all of that. Now, we know, now as we get into verse 2 here, or chapter 2 here, we're going to be starting to deal with the life of Moses from the very beginning of his life. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to his wife a daughter of Levi And the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she had him 3 months. You see, this order had been given to kill all the male children. This is Moses we're talking about here now, being born. His mother keeping him hid for 3 months. And you know, she bound to have a heavy heart, and a heart that ached. Because in order to save him from being killed, here's what she done. And when she could not hide him, longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and dubbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. She's going to get rid of him rather than to see him killed. But you know that had to be heartbreaking. Because she didn't know what else. You see, God's always got things planned. We don't always know what they are until it comes about. Here she is putting him in this basket now, here at the river in the bull and the flags, the weeds, to keep him alive, hoping somebody would find him that could raise him. Now, it says in verse 4, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. His sister was standing to see what would happen with him. Where would he end up? How would he end up? 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh come down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Now here's the king of the Pharaoh's daughter, the very one that ordered all male children to be killed, all the Hebrew male children to be killed. Now it's his daughter that has found it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept or cried, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. She knew he was a Hebrew child. She's Egyptian. She is the king of the Pharaoh's daughter. But she had compassion. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? His sister, seeing what is going on now, wanted to know. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. The mother that thought she was asked to give up her child now is being called to nurse and take care of him. You see, this, God always has a way. And he can make things right when we think there is no way. Now, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Now, not only is she back with her child and helping to raise it, but she's even being paid for it. That's how God works. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. That's why he was named Moses. It was Pharaoh's daughter that gave him that name. His own mother didn't. We don't know what she would have named him, because they don't say. Verse 11, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brother and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Now, all of us that knows anything about Moses, we know that story, don't we? He killed that Egyptian. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. 13. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that he did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? He's wanting to know why he killed him. And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. He didn't know anybody knew he had done it. But now here, some of his own people, the Hebrew people, knew he had killed this Egyptian. But you know, if they knew he killed him, they knew why. Because they bound to have seen it done. Because he sure wasn't running around bragging about it. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. We know he wandered around that wilderness for a little while before he got to Midian. And now we find him sitting down by the well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters. And they came and drew water and filled the trough to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. Well, most of us know about that story. It happened there at the well. Moses by himself caused them with the herd to hold their herd while he finished watering the flock for these ladies. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? They back real quick for them. Evidently, because they were girls, it must have been a little slow. But now he's wondering why they're back so quick. And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds. They thought Moses was an Egyptian. I guess because of the way he was dressed. Because he had been raised in the house and had been well up in the order of the Egyptian hierarchy. And also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? why is it that you have left the man, call him that he may eat bread? Now their dad's inviting him in to thank him for what he's done. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. Now we know where Moses got his wife. We also know that she was an Ethiopian lady. She was a black lady. It was Ethiopia, in Africa. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And he was, because he had been on the run. But you see, a lot of times we can't even run and run far enough to get out of God's plan. He was running from the king and Pharaoh because of what he had done. But that ain't going to last. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reasons of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. He had promised them a land. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now, we're going to get into chapter 3. How far we'll get through this, I don't know. But we're going to get started through it because we're following this life of Moses. We're going to be following it the rest of this Thursday and next two, probably. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. This fire he was witnessing about this bush was the spiritual fire. It wasn't burning the bush. It was just in the bush. That's just like within God's children. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you have that fire of the Spirit within you. This is what was in that bush. Now, 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. He's wanting to find out why this bush ain't burnt. Because he don't know what else is going on. He's about to find out, but he don't know yet. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Very few today, if you heard, would hear the word and the voice of God calling you by name, how many today would say, here am I. Most because of the lack of their knowledge of the word of God, would be so scared but they wouldn't answer at all. Five, and he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. You see, that's why we come into a place of worship. We are to come into that place with respect, with honor, with praise. And we're not to bring evil with us into it. We are to come in as a child of the living God. Because where God is, and he's here this evening. He's here in this place. This place this evening is holy. Because it's filled with him and his spirit. And moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now Moses is beginning to be a little afraid. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. God already knew all about it, just as he knows all about us today. He knows all about everything that's going on out here. He knows what is going to go on out here. He knows what he's going to do about it. We don't. Pardon me. We don't, but he does. He knows things he's going to straighten out. And he knows things he's going to let get worse. You and I don't know. We will know when we see it come about. Now, 8. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, you bring them to a good land, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. God said, I've seen it all. I've seen how they've been treated, how they've been oppressed, how they have been worked hard, and how they've been mistreated. God knew all about it. But see, he still really hasn't got Moses in on the good part of it. He says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh. God's getting ready to send him right back to the one that we're looking for him to kill him. What do you think about that? How much faith do you think it's going to take now? Huh? Now, he said, I'm going to send you unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Send him back to the man who's going to kill him. Send him back just one man that end up being two because he's going to give him a helper. Because Moses don't talk even real plain. Sending two people to bring out thousands. Actually, they have been those that figured and tried to figure and figured they were somewhere around 2 million people. But sending two to bring them out away from a king and a whole land of people. And right back to one that promised to kill him. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He says, who am I for you to be sending? We all wonder that at times. Lord, why'd you call me for this? I'm not worthy. No, but God knows you'll go. He knows you'll end up doing what he wants you to do. You may not know it at times, just like Moses didn't know. He tried to talk his way out of it. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. He's telling me exactly part of the plan. He's only giving you parts of it here. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? He didn't even know what to call him. Because Moses hadn't been raised with his own people. He knew nothing about God. He had been raised with the Egyptians. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Some name to use, isn't it? Not even say God sent me. I am sent me. And God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I am.
Said,
I am. That's for all generations. That's for you and I today too. I am. The great I am, God Almighty, called me to preach the gospel. Now, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever and ever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. He's telling him exactly what to say, just as he will tell you today when he sends you forth to talk to someone, to do something, He tells you how. He tells you what to do. He'll tell you what to say. 17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of Canaan, and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, Jebusites, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey. He promised to bring them to a great land. And he had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the same thing. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. He's telling them even what to say to the Pharaoh. But he's telling them what to say to get them 3 days away. But he already knows what the Pharaoh's going to do. He knows that king ain't going to turn them loose. And he goes on here in 19, saying so. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by mighty hand. God knew he wasn't going to let him go. They was to tell him that, but he knew they weren't going to let him, Pharaoh wasn't going to let him go. The king, as he's called here. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. God's telling them exactly how things are going to work. A couple of verses we're going to close in for tonight. We'll be getting into the rest of this come next Thursday. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. Uh-oh. They've been slaves all these years. They're not to go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourn in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. They are going to get what they are to take from the Egyptian people. God's blessing. And if this nation in which you and I are now living would repent, get into God's word, get back into their churches and start bringing their churches to repentance and get them back into the word of God and get that word of God within them and begin to live it, he would heal this land. But the way they are doing right now, I look for God to take a people out of our land, but this land will get destroyed because the lack of belief and faith in God Almighty and the way the church has gotten. That's why he said his judgment would begin at his church. And we've only got one place to lay the blame, and that's at the church, at those backslidden preachers that are not preaching the truth of God's word and haven't been now for about 50 years or so. They haven't been preaching truth in about 50 years. That they've been changing the Word of God and bringing about their thoughts, their wants, their wishes, and what they have on their mind instead of what was on the mind of Almighty God that He had written down for you and I. And come Sunday morning, Brother Dennis is going to be speaking to us again. I'll be back Sunday night. Brother Dennis, I'll be here Sunday morning too. Brother Dennis is going to do the speaking. I'll be back speaking Sunday night. We're going to keep Sunday for this day and time, for the church age. But Thursday I'm going to use to be going through the Old Testament, because there's a lot of that that you and I need to know also. And that will help to build our faith in God's Word. Because things that have been prophesied, we can see when they were prophesied. We can see when they came about, those things that came about. We don't have many left that's got to come about. Most of them have already. God has already brought most of them about. Our time is growing short. And we need to quit running from God. And we need to be on our knees at the altar. And we need to have an altar in all of our homes. And we need to be spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and in His Word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close Your Word, Father, we thank You for Your Word that You've kept for us down through the years. And Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You for a place to where we can come to hear Your Word, Heavenly Father, a place that we can come and be together so we can have support and have the help, Father, that each of us need to grow in strength of faith, in strength of health, strength of knowledge and wisdom. Father, for the saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them because, Father, we know they have very little peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings, and as their Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Now, Father, for this land of ours that's turned its back and walked so far away, it is going to take You and Your power here, Father, to help us to remove from office those that are standing against the church, against Jesus. And Father, we need Your guidance to help us to replace them with people that belong to You, that will stand with the church and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for this prayer list of ours, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch that one to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Tom's friend Dennis and Dennis's family in Oklahoma, Amy, Tom's wife, Naomi's friend Sue and Sue's family in Texas, for their son Jacob, this young man, using Father in mighty and great ways among the young people there in Texas. Terry Coates, for the brothers in Christ, for Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church there at Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, and Pastor Tony Galladay. And Father, for this young man, William, that has been ordained into the ministry, my prayer for William is that the Holy Spirit has been his teacher, and he is the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. For that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find a place of refuge and a place of light, and that light being Jesus. For my young friend, the pastor there in Pakistan, Haroon Islam, Father, keep him safe, keep him in health, and see to his needs. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, my family, and for each family, Father, that will hear this message. May the Holy Spirit work within these families, Father, and help to turn those that are walking with evil, Father, turn them away from that evil, lead them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Now, Father, this church is yours. It's not mine. So I ask, Father, for you to lead us and guide us in all ways and in everything that you want of this church and want this church to do. And Father, for all the sick in this community and those that are walking, Father, crippled, those that are walking in blindness, those that are walking in deafness, touch them, Father. Touch them with that healing power that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to us by the Holy Spirit, and comes, Father, because of those stripes. Heal each and every one of them. And Father, use me. Use me in great and mighty ways. Not to lift me up or make anything of me, other than a child of God. Keep me as one of yours, Father. Love me as you do. And Father, help me to help others to find the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Don't forget, everyone, come Sunday morning, God willing, we can all be together again. Brother Dennis will be bringing us a message that God lays on his heart. So until then, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night, all.